Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Again for another episode, yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes, I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes, directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promised times of refreshing are upon us, the time to rediscover the ancient truths, the time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten, my truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, as he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed, when indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to the light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah!
Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, no question about it. There's a seriously great need that we come together as a people. We come together as a people to discern indeed what is the will of the Most High beyond all the multitude of unscrupulous misideals and misadministrations and misrule that this world has offered. Ultimately, unto my brothers and sisters, what has been the scheme of the adversary from the very beginning? To divide and conquer a people who would serve the one Most High. Yes, that's exactly what has been happening since the dawn of human fall. The adversary offered unto man another plan, another plan after which men thought or were led to believe that they might still yet have life. But my brothers and sisters, there's only one path toward life, on the one path toward peace. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the way of the one Most High, the pure, complete, perfect way of the Most High that he declared from the beginning, eternal. And unto that plan, my brothers and sisters, I said unto that plan, we must return. I can say this to you, my brothers and sisters, because it's very important that we understand this. I said it's very, very, very important that we understand this. The truth of the matter is simply this. So much prophecy, so much of what is written in prophecy declares again and again that till Messiah comes to declare what indeed is the pure, perfect word from above, the truth of the gospel, at the times the Gentiles still reign to blind, divide, deceive our people. It's not possible that we talk about a deliverance for our people while still yet in allegiances, under allegiances, to a multitude of various standards that the various Gentile rulers still seek to preserve in the earth. It's just that simple. Like I said, the adversary offered mankind in the garden, seemingly another path unto life. And Messiah said his peace is what he brings. He said, he is the way of the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. What the world offers as peace is a multitude of compromises up to diverse standards of men, contention standards of men. None of this, my brothers and sisters, can please the Most High. None of it is true to him as he is. We need to understand something. The book of Genesis 49th chapter, foretells, corollary to what's also in the 15th chapter of Genesis, 17th chapter of Genesis, that the way the Most High sought to restore into the minds of his people, that way, my brothers and sisters, so one day rule the world, that the whole world be true to the will of the one Most High. Genesis 49, the patriarch Israel spoke to his children and told them how in the last days one out of the tribe of Judah would surely arise, a lawgiver. How about my brothers and sisters, a peace giver, a peace restorer, that unto him shall all the nations be gathered, all the people be gathered, first gathering Israel, and then regathering the world. Same concept we find in Isaiah 49, one out of the tribes of Israel again, my brothers and sisters, called by the name of the Most High, to restore to mind what is honorable before him, to bring his people back, made his mouth like a sharp two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, my brothers and sisters, how many of us really want to know what Armageddon is really all about? Revelation 16, 12 to 21 relates it ultimately, if we rightly understand it. It is a time which the Most High will show discretion. He is the word of Yah. What's the scripture say? The word of Yah is living and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to tell the point of division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. I said that word then, my brothers and sisters, relates the thoughts. The word of Yah relates the thoughts and intents of divine mind to discern whether man seeks the fullness or what is divine will. It's sharp, like a sharp two-edged sword. Did you notice it says it discerns the difference between what scripture say? Soul and spirit. How about whether man is carnally minded or after the mind of Yah, willing unto the mind of Yah? Bone and marrow. My brothers and sisters, bone. Yes, bone, my brothers and sisters. The marrow within it is what determines, or let's just say the bone within it. It produces blood. The scripture says, blood is life. It is symbolic, my brothers and sisters, of what, again, is the intents of the mind, from whence one comes, if you will, my brothers and sisters. And what he sees is an eventuality. It's symbolic. Soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Much is understood when we simply realize the very word. A word in Hebrew, debar, also relates thoughts. Scriptures talk about Revelation 16, 12 to 21, which talks about Armageddon, Messiah, calling the one called the King of the East, very much likened to the one called the Righteous One from the East, likened to the rising sun who comes suddenly, like the rising sun, to cast out the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure, to restore his people, to expose all the misconceits of the rulers. How about Isaiah 40, 27 through 41, 4? It says when he exposes all the rulers for their unrighteousness, very much like we see at Revelation 19, 11 through 21, the King of Kings exposing all the rulers for misrepresenting the word of Yah. That all the systems of this world be recognized in their treachery. Isaiah 24, 10 through 16. All the ruling systems of this world be recognized for their treachery, for their misrepresentation. And then shall men, my brothers and sisters, discern indeed what is the righteousness of Yah. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Let no man judge himself so wise before the time till Messiah come reveal the hidden things that men have not considered. And then shall every man know how to praise Yah. You know, it's Revelation 16, 12 talks about the drying up of the rivers. How about the releasing man from the mindscapes of his rulers?
compare that scripture sometime, my brothers and sisters, to Isaiah 44:20-45:6-46:13, to understand who the King of the East is as Yeshua himself. Compare it, my brothers and sisters, and understand what the rulers have sought to hide from you. It's very much so imperative. It's very much so imperative. All must understand what must have been the mindset of the early church. We've talked about that many times on this show, that Messiah, Yeshua, was recognized by those who believed as a return of the King who the Most High had given all the kingdom of the earth before. They didn't tell you, most leaders won't tell you that the early church was not called Christians. They did not call themselves Christians. They're called Kurdishanya, the ancient empire that wrought theist revolution in the East. It's called Kurdistan for a reason. Kur, sun, tis rise, Shah, king, king of the East. Kurdishanya is what the early church was called. They looked for the expectation. They look with expectation, great expectation, for the one that was called, who bore the title, King of the East. My website, hiddengospel.com, there's an article there called Early Church Origin, Forgotten Mutual Expectation. I dare to say that without that information, no man can perform fully what is pleasing unto Yah. Article there called The Secret City Prophecies. It tells you about that Armageddon-like experience that the scriptures speak of in the latter days. Information has been hid from the people because, like I said, that day will expose all false rule. Those who had the concept of Messiah as the King of the East, like I said, Revelation 16:12-21, Isaiah 40:27-41:4, Isaiah 44:20-46:13, those who had that concept understood those scriptures well. 48th, 49th, 51st chapter of Isaiah, all these prophecies. Those who had that concept understood it would have been considered an absolute blasphemy. At the Most High, they knew, understand what I'm saying, would again give all the kingdoms of the earth to the heir that he has chosen. I'm talking about looking at Isaiah 65. He said, bring forth an heir, an inheritor of his mountains. Knowing that the ancient church knew the Messiah would come three times. You look at Isaiah 11, particular 10 through 12 verses. Look at 11:1-4. In context of 2 Thessalonians 2, he said the Messiah will come a second time to regather all his people from all the nations as he had before. Ultimately, bring them on to that they might live upon their own land. 2,000 years ago, that didn't happen. But one called Messiah, anointed one of the Most High, did do that 2,600 years ago. All the prophecies concerning that one are written in 45, and most have not been taught to examine these and understand that as latter day prophecy and understand that one called ultimately the Kurdi, the King of Kurdistan. The King of Kings, the Shashan Shah, that's what that word, King of Kings. He said, scripture say he bore the title King of Kings. Who bore the title Shashan Shah of old at divine appointment before? Scripture said the one called ultimately a shepherd of his people. Scripture relate that he was foreordained from the beginning, but the Most High says in Isaiah 44 that he is his shepherd. He is the one who is called his shepherd. He is the one who would declare the gospel, the word from on high, untainted after the ideals of men. That the world has not discerned who Yeshua is according to all that's written in prophecy. Has been a great travesty against the knowledge of the faith. It must be understood then that knowing the Messiah would return and unto him all the kings of the earth should be given, we consider extreme blasphemy that any of those who would convert unto the faith would seek to hold on to the variant traditions of their various political, national, and pseudo-religious ideals. How is it possible for people to be made one in the will of Yah, retaining all these variant rulerships and allegiances, vows, what, to sustain even the pride and a multitude of variant ideals that never would have been if men would have retained the true word the Most High declared from the beginning? First command is you should worship none else but he is one. You should love him, seek him with all your mind, heart, soul, and might. And that certainly means beyond all the rulers of the earth. You were warned against false prophets, false testimony, fallen short testimony, that you should seek the Most High, that you not fall victim to the variant standards of your rulers. Scriptures tell us, Revelation 6:12 through 7:2 and then 7:17. Scriptures tell us well that your rulers won't be able to stand in the day Messiah appears to expose all false rule. Malachi tells in advance, Messiah comes to restore righteousness as of old. How about 2:16 to about 3 and 4? Because all the variant rulerships of this world, he said he must purge them out of the temple, that men might see again an offering wrought in the Most High in righteousness. Didn't he say you should not take the name of the Most High in vain? You should not swear by him, swear by his name unto less than the fullness of his will, certainly not according to any man's vanities. You seek and call upon his name not to seek all his will. It only creates and maintains divisions among the people. People blinded, not on their iniquities. Just what said in 2 Thessalonians 2, after the intrusions of misrulers right there in the midst of you, sitting behind your pulpits and sitting upon your thrones. Men not recognizing these leaders as wicked, lawless, and not lawful. People say you should not have any graven image. Well, let me tell you something. The worst form of idolatry is a false concept, a fallen concept, foolish, deceptive, unprofitable concept of salvation, even the Savior in your mind. Jacob, the first chapter, they call it James, tells us that if we are scattered among the provocations of the nations, and certainly the nations provoke one another and tempt man to follow after variant provocations against the Most High. So we're scattered among these. We must realize that our faith and perseverance must still bring forth the perfect work acceptable unto Yah. And my brothers and sisters, the perfect work of Yah is not after the varying ideals of the nations. He said, we be double-minded in any way. How about our allegiances cause us to believe that we shall yet find salvation? After any of these partialized standards, he say, why do we think we receive any kind of discipline from the Most High? Why do we think we should receive anything of his Holy Spirit if we want to compel ourselves and others to believe that partializations are still worthy unto the will of one? In fact, all such thinking is blasphemy. It's an insult. I said an insult against the will, the perfect understanding of the Most High. I want you to think about it. Messiah said, I made no request for the world. In other words, anyone who would seek to preserve all these partializations, all these pollutions, intrusions after the ideals of men, he said, if anyone seeks to uphold these things, he said, make no request for them, no petition. Most High for them. He said in John 17:9, I made no request for the worldly, but he said for those who would keep, guard, maintain, defend, seek all his will, he said he'd petition the Most High. As you receive the gift of his Spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it. I'm talking about 14:15 through 27 of the book of Yohanan. Please understand, brothers and sisters, the truth that the Most High would have you to comprehend, that you be made true unto him and know what is expected of him concerning his people. Matthiah, Matthew, they called it. Dispensation of grace, they called it. Dispensation of the gospel. He said, go forth and convert the nations, teaching them everything that he commands. That means the lesson seeking all that he commands is not your conversion. Hey, Sarah told people that lawlessness, denying some part of the law and the prophets, so ultimately, denying some part of what is divine will, denying some part of what the Most High decreed, declared. From the beginning, the scripture says, from the foundation of the world, man compelled by a deceiver to believe that such partialities has caused a foolish pride, deceiving mankind not to be able to perceive indeed what the Most High himself has decreed. Dividing our people, my brothers and sisters, not discerning the two in all things the Most High has declared, we are one. We are not saved. Not made whole. Not prepared to agree. Not prepared for peace. Scripture says, those who would not know his ways shall not enter into his rest. His all that is required that his people in all things agree. Because if we disagree on any point, I said, if we disagree on any point, it is called for contention. For the Most High desires all his will be done. And that is forgiveness and atonement unto him. Blessed are those among us who will understand this. He said, go forth and teach all nations everything you command. All power and authority have been given unto him as a king. How then, my brothers and sisters, those who convert still talk about the variant kingships and rulerships of the earth? When he said all power had been given unto him, it means, and in fact, that the rulers have been stripped of their authority. In fact, my brothers and sisters, it will be understood by those who believe that since one era was declared from the beginning that the rulers of the earth and their variant ideas never had authority to rule over the people. Most High told me that no one has ever had a right to rule but by him. Meaning if men are in places of power and they don't rule according to what is divine will, perfectly divine will, it is trouble, it is tribulation, it is division, it is damnation. My brothers and sisters, so many times have our people been misled under the rule of another because they would not accept the rule of Yah. It is Yah himself, my brothers and sisters, who decides whether man awakens to understand what is divine rule or not. It is Yah who decides to send a righteous king in his time. The early church knew this. They knew, in fact, in advance that the Messiah would return to a world where men have fallen away from the knowledge of the truth. The Most High, my brothers and sisters, led his people to know that Messiah would return to a world where most would not even be, by and large, expecting him, and certainly not as he is. Our brothers and sisters, how is it that most have not discerned what I call the secret city prophecies that are related from to Revelation? Those prophecies relate, my brothers and sisters, that Messiah will come to expose all the rulers of the earth. That your rulers want you to know this because it's necessary that all their false righteousness be exposed, that the people be free. How many of my brothers and sisters understand that they've been misled to vow to the Most High, but not to rightly perform it? Please look at Isaiah 19, 18 through 25 and understand how this world should be brought to one peace, one understanding. Like I said, the early church understood there's one king, there's one rule that the Most High has sanctioned unto his kingdom, unto his rest and peace, and everything else across this world is a counterfeit. Messiah did not give his life, and men consider themselves wise after any realism or misopinion of man. The truth of the matter, if we really want to understand it, and I know not everyone does, is Revelation 13 says, upon the heads of all the kings is blasphemy, an insult against the Most High. They claim to uphold the righteous God, but my brother and sister are more concerned about pulpits and thrones than the reconciliation of a people. They claim to be believers. But have they been concerned about Israel becoming one, awakening, and all the people awakening to follow the one king who is prophesied surely to come? No, my brothers and sisters, they've been more concerned about their pulpit who's too greedy to help people to really understand. Isaiah 56, 9 through 57, 4, I did another show earlier here on Blog Talk that related exactly that. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. It's time to understand the reality. Isaiah 44 going into 45 talks about how Messiah and his appearance would prove all the rulers foolish, that he would be the shepherd to establish again a city of peace. He'd be one, the one to show the people beyond all the crooked paths in which, after which they have been misled. At the most high, my brothers and sisters, show Messiah the way to show his people. But who, my brothers and sisters, prepared to follow him? Revelation 7, as I said before, already declares that the rulers will not, I said the rulers will not be prepared to stand when Messiah appears. Why do you follow those who will not be able to stand and expect to be able, my brothers and sisters? Be accounted among those who upheld what the Most High calls the cumulative and acceptable truth. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, Revelation 14 says, talks about those who keep the commandments of Yah, the saints of those who keep the commandments of Yah after the faith of Yeshua. If you understand Yeshua as a Kurdi, you know that his faith is that all the rulers are falling short of the glory of the what honors the Most High. And it means that those who keep the commandments of Yah, the faith of Yeshua, are those who overcome the marks of the beast, the standards of the nations, stand all the multitude of denominations, 48,000, 45,000 denominations across 280 nations, is not a. How is it that men have believed yet that it was, that the Most High could be pleased with this, as if it were by his spirit that all these divisions exist? Most High is not the author of this confusion. You need to ask who is. You need to ask who it is that's preserving this confusion then, and how you might open. Revelation 9, chapter 4th verse, talks about those whom the Most High will seal, confirm that his testimony is on their minds and hearts. That's what's meant when the scripture says they write his name upon their brow. It means his testimony he has written upon their minds and hearts. My brothers and sisters, so much of that testimony is far from the thinking of the vast majority of men, but yet most have considered themselves wise enough before the time, which scriptures warn about, warn against in 1 Corinthians 14, 17 to 4 and 5. Consider themselves wise after the pride of the rulers who see it as their avocation to keep you blinded and subordinate to the misrule, the short-sighted ideals that they're teaching their variant instincts. 9 and 4 revelation that only those, relates that only those who have the testimony of the Most High is confirmed. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, it says the first 144,000 of the tribes of Israel will be sealed. Meaning that Israel shall rule, my brothers and sisters, after the testimony of the one called, they call him the angel from the rising sun. The word for angel is the word for king. Rising sun is east. Same one mentioned in Isaiah 40, 27 through 41, 4, for whom you should be waiting. Well, if we understand that scripture, it means it's not those who continue to walk after the ways of the nations, counterfeiting, blaspheme, hypocrisizing, misrepresenting the name of the Most High, misrepresenting the word, the testimony of the Most High, not them who should be preserved, but the Most High must eradicate the negative to accentuate the positive. But men have said that just because they call upon the name of the Most High according to whatever seemed wise in their own heart, they will save, ready to survive all coming wrath, ready to walk into the kingdom of Yah My brothers and sisters, the contentious ideas of the nations have never been able to bring peace. How do people say that they will be preserving such corruptions? It simply is not possible, nor is it rational. The truth of the matter is that no one believer, my brothers and sisters, who expects to be perfected after the double-minded, after the double-mindedness of the nations, men calling themselves Christians and saying that they are Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, Catholic, whatever, after whatever institution, and saying that they are expected to be called justified or perfected after any one of the national titles this earth that men have exalted themselves after. Our brothers and sisters, none of these are true to the perfect will of Yah. It is blasphemy, and in fact, my brothers and sisters, an insult against the righteous of the Most High to believe that anyone should be called true to the Most High after any of these other titles. Scripture says, if any man preach any other gospel, any other word, and call it pure and perfect for the Most High, say, let him be accursed. Men have insulted the Most High and expect to be guided by him. My brothers and sisters, that's insanity. These people, whoever it is, were not seek to understand that the early church was called Kadeshanya, those who expected the coming of the King of the East, those who expected the coming of Messiah, prove all the rulers. My brothers and sisters have not been believers. If they were in the company of those who believed of old, the apostles and prophets of old, my brothers and sisters, could they have so quick peace with them, be able to comprehend them? Says you must comprehend with all the saints what is the height, depth, and breadth, the full measure and stature of Messiah, not alienated in your minds as other Gentile nations. Scripture even says if you're strangers to the commonwealth of Israel and the covenants of the promise, and guess what? The promise that the Kurdi would return to establish peace on the earth, the promise. Have you been aware of this, or have you been left unaware? To be left unaware, my brothers and sisters, be still yet under the marks and stands of the nations who refused to open the minds of this knowledge, in fact, murdered literally millions in the first centuries, that you not discern it. Not believers then, my brothers and sisters. Salvation is by faith. You're going to have to believe something beyond what the rulers have told you if you expect to be delivered. They're not. My brothers and sisters, all folks who call themselves Christians, Hebrew, Israelites, whatever they call themselves, if they're not willing to accept what was the expectation of the early church, to call themselves Kadeshanya for a reason. My brothers and sisters, they've not been true to the faith and not overcome the marks of the beast. Not prepared to hearken to the one the Most High chose that he would arise out of the tribe of Israel. Tribes of Israel, particularly the tribe of Judah, not prepared to understand his word. My brothers and sisters, many are going to be utterly ashamed. But many have been made to swear oaths, vanities, after the ways of the wicked. Look at Isaiah 14:5. It says, the wicked is the scepter of your rulers. Many of my brothers and sisters, the scepter of your rulers has not been acceptable unto the kingdom of Yah. Messiah will come to expose them all. Knowing this, how have men upheld such massive illusion and expected salvation? Simply does not make sense. Truth is that men have already insulted the Most High. That he offered man, in fact, in these last days, he's again offering man a chance to see beyond the illusions, but most of them just simply followed the status quo. Most never understood there's no saved politicians. You can't swear to the ideals of a fallen status quo and be true unto Yah. Most of them understood there's no saved politicians. None who are kind of believers, trusting in the diverse ideals of men, seeking to gather men after a multitude of pluralist standards, my brothers and sisters, can only be confusion. Discern and behold, then, my brothers and sisters, one who the Most High sent, one called the Kurdi. Came 2,000 years ago, came 2,600 years ago, and returns again in these days. You understand the 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, speaks of Isaiah 11 through 14, particularly Isaiah 11. You understand who it is that the scripture said will come to expose the massive world pretense, the iniquity that has blinded the masses. My brothers and sisters, shall man discern the truth and still be silent regarding it and still be called servants of Yah? It's a false vow, my brothers and sisters. Receive the testimony of the Most High and not declare it. Isaiah 58. Spare not, cry aloud, declare to Israel his iniquity and Jacob his sin. My brother and sister, has been a great sin that men have not known the truth, and been an even greater sin that men oftentimes don't have any opportunity to awaken to the truth, have denied it. None is saved after a false vow. He said he will not be counted blameless who swears his name after those of this world. Men avow to preserve all manner of fallen forms of worship should not be ever in any case counted acceptable. What does it say in Matthew 5:14-24? It says, if you deny any part of the law and the prophets, you allow anyone to persecute you or cause you to misdiscern or fall short what's contained in the law and the prophets, she says, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. We're all commanded to seek the utmost truth. Isaiah 30 says, woe to those who take counsel, but not from him who seeks shelter under the shadow. Guess what? Wherever men seek to be saved, sanctified, justified, after the ignorances of this world, scripture says, only to your conferred confusion, this worship is in vain. Read Isaiah 30 and understand. It's all part of the mystery of iniquity, the sin that the world sees. Just because the world doesn't see its iniquity, does not mean it has not performed an injustice. It's all part of the strong delusion where rulers claim to be upholding the Most High, but my brothers and sisters, they still yet uphold the fallen standards of men. Were they truly guided after the Spirit? For the lies that they preach, they would not be preaching. If they heard, I said if they heard, and if they were true to what the Spirit declares, the misrule that they declare, they would not be preaching, and they'd be telling you the kind of things that I'm talking to you about right now. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, because it's time we discern. It's time we get to the truth. Isaiah 19 says there will come a time that men will realize this is oppression, cry to the Most High, and he will send them a Savior who will deliver them. Isaiah 60 says Messiah will send one to preach again the light. It says, well, we're not hearkening to that light. Whatever name we're not hearkening to the light should be destroyed. Isaiah 60 and 12. Revelation 19, Revelation 16, Revelation 7, Revelation 14, all talking about overcoming the various standards of the nations. We accept the will of one. Whatever is not unto that perfect will to discern that perfect will, brothers and sisters, is the will of man and not Yah. Think about it. Genesis 49, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 43, Isaiah 49. All these scriptures about regathering people of Yah unto the will of Yah would not be necessary if the ways of the nation were sufficient. Jeremiah 30 through 31, there's no renewal of a covenant while the people are still scattered among the nations under the influences of the nations. Scripture says the way of the saints will not be known as long as the tabernacle. How about one that is found fault with? The way of the saints will not be known as long as the old tabernacle, the falsehood, the corrupt ministrations of man remain. As it was before 2,000 years ago, as it was 2,600 years ago. So it is true today. Blessed they will understand what has been always the plan of the Most High. There will be no need to call Shiloh in the last days to regather the people to give them a law. And what they already had was lawful. And if it were already before the Most High to be covenant. I'd like to give attention today to a bit of scripture that truly demands a degree of attention. I said that truly demands a degree of attention. It's verses in the book of Romans that relates to a very powerful concept that is actually in Romans 11th chapter, 25th, 27 verses in particular. Looks like I might be able to get all this together in the course of this one show. And if not, I'll just extend the time just a little bit. Scripture in Romans 11:25-27. Paul said these words. Shaul said these words. I'm desirous, my brethren, that you should know this mystery. I said, I'm desirous, my brethren, that you should know this mystery. Well, the way they translate the King James Version, it says, for blindness of heart has in some degree befallen Israel, it says, until the time of the Gentiles comes to an end. Well, in King James Version, it says, to the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Aramaic says, to the time of the Gentiles come in, comparative to Luke 21:24. Times of our people then being scattered among the nations comes to an end, and the Most High establishes a nation for his people. It said, until then, the people are, in some respect, misinfluenced. Some texts say hardened. How about hardened and made hard to understand because of the orientation of the nation, trusting in what they put down the word there, blindness. Blindness in part has befallen Israel. Wow. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, much is understood if you will simply understand that that word they put down for blindness or hardness is actually, in the Greek, is the word poros. Please understand me again. I'm revealing to you now a secret that has been most of not understood for a very long time. The word down there is the word poros. Most have hardly understood, but poros did relate to a rock, but it relates to a rock of a different kind of form than most people think of in terms of a smooth, solid stone. It has to do with the idea of poros relates also, if you will, porosity, something that is porous, something that water can go through. It's a type of rock that, if you will, was said to have had, if you will, tiny tunnels in it, holes in the rock. Water can sit in this rock. Oftentimes, the concept was a type of rock that you might say in some respect was absorptive. The type of rock that they were talking about was not a solid rock that we think of. Most time we think of rock. But consider the concept of what pumice was. Pumice, rock. Oftentimes used for exfoliating the skin. Oftentimes you have to clean it off after you exfoliate the skin because skin remains in it. What was actually being said is that Israel will be influenced after the misconceits of the nations to the times of Gentile rule comes to an end. And then it says all Israel shall have the same covenant when the Most High sends a Savior out of Zion. A Savior to rule the world according to the designs the Most High gave his people Israel. Then shall all have the same covenant with Yah. And the day that he comes, remove ungodliness from the midst of his people. Well, that verse, Romans 11:25-27, comes from Isaiah 59, talking about time, the way of peace our people have not known. In other words, they have not known the way beyond all the corruptions of the nations. So when the enemy, how about all the nations that stand against the one standard, will come in like a flood, the Most High raise up a standard against them, something solid, a rock, at which none of the misconceits are any more to people. Scripture says he would turn people from transgression, transgression, transgression. How about the intrusion of the nations? The sin of the nations shall no longer disturb or confuse his people. Feeble porosity, like a pumice stone, in some degree befallen Israel to the time nations, the pollution of the nations, the Gentile rule comes to an end. The Most High shall establish a king out of Zion. When the Savior comes out of Zion, the scripture says in Isaiah 34, 35, then shall the eyes, then shall your eyes be open, eyes of the deaf be open, the ears of the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf be unstopped. Then Isaiah 57 relates the idea that the people that come to him shall no longer be like them of the nations who caused them to mock against the will of Yah. Israel shall no longer be scattered, have the same covenant with the Most High. When he comes to remove this transgression, the intrusions of the nations from the midst of his people. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, willing to understand that? The deep understanding of Isaiah 55 through 55th through the 59th chapter would genuinely help so much. Yaakov, as I told you before, the book of Yaakov talks about watching out for the intrusions of the nations again. Colossians 2 and 8 said the same thing. Say we ought to come to a people perfect after the will of Yah, not double-minded. How many will understand what these scriptures are saying? That you have no covenant, double-minded, swearing allegiances after the various standards of the nations. It's difficult for people to discern the massive hypocrisy and treachery and ungodliness of that upon which they become mutually dependent. It's difficult for them to see their own hypocrisy, especially when after that hypocrisy they have assimilated. Most High told me, beware, whatever you join yourself with, you become one with in spirit. He said, listen to him. He said, listen to him, that someone make a fool of me. I would say the same to you. It's hard, my brothers, to see foolishly inviolable, unstable, at fault, a pretense, that upon which for many generations, the people have been misled to trust. That's the blindness and the hardness of heart, the pride of a people made to fall victim to what is actually fatal flattery. Shall we refuse to discern that it's our many allegiances to partial and perverse standards that have blinded the minds, not accept or receive the gospel that has divided us against the kingdom of the one? The true gospel of peace from on high, a pure perfect word from on high, does not divide the people. It's the partialities and varied pollution, the vanities of men, which kept us contentious unto sin. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. How about to a people, my brothers and sisters? Well, they're not a people if they are divided against the will of one. We are not true to the Most High if we're divided against the will of one. If we uphold any short-sighted standard, my brothers and sisters, shall we say we're confirmed and worthy unto the holy name? Who wants to really understand what the scriptures have to say about what will finally reconcile our people? HiddenGospel.com, article called Secret City Prophecies. It's very necessary, my brothers and sisters, that it's so very necessary, I dare say that those without it don't have a chance. I know that's not what your leaders wanted you to know. But again, my brothers and sisters, the Most High sends a prophet to speak what others would not. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, and understand. While scattered and dependent upon the blind matrices, misguiding wombs, if you will, false controlling body of knowledge of the nations, Israel has become blind to so much of its transgression, so many of its illusions brought in from among the nations. Trusting those who have no concern for a healing restoration of a people. Hey, all the rulers of the nation want to keep everybody who's a citizen there subject to them. no real hope for the promise of reconciliation for people for holy name's sake. And our people in so many ways have been made blind to the hope of salvation because the rulers just want them to be prideful after the congregation they're in. Did they teach them of the Messiah, the Kurdi, who would gather his people beyond them all? Or have they, as the sons of darkness, hid this truth from you? Yes, our people have been wanderers among the nations. Blessed are they who will at last be found. It's time to remember who you are, my people. Isaiah 50 says, we're going to have to wake up. Discern that one whom the Most High says he would call, that morning by morning he would cause his ears to teaching to awaken the wearied from among his people, that they discern beyond spiritual immaturity what indeed is mature, to expose all the unrighteousness of all the nations. He says, look to the rock, the solid rock from whence you were hewn. Look to your faithful father, Abraham and Sarah, who conceived you. What does this mean? Early church knew to seek perfectly beyond all the varying misinfluences of the nations, as did Abraham himself. He said, look again to the rock, which, how about the rock solid faith of your ancient patriarchal fathers? You might be confirmed, not so easily misshapen to the errant touch of men. Think about it, like I said, that pumice stone. Don't let the dead skin of those who will not be sanctified rub off on you. But you can continue to walk after the vanities. The scripture says, Isaiah 50:10, he talks about whoever would continue to walk after the vanities, the fallen standards that men have kindled and called wise and called light. He said they will lie down in sorrow. So whoever among you does not have this invariant light beyond all the nations, please, the book of Jakob, James, need to be read from the first to the 8th and then out to the 17th. So whoever does not have this invariant light, let him seek one who is called by the name of the Most High and be saved by his Holy One. Isaiah 49 said Messiah would appear, saying, listen to me, I was talking to me, O you nations, talking to me. There's no peace after any of these lawless rulers out here. The Most High has called him to declare what is honorable before the Most High, to regather his people, even declare what is salvation from beyond all false rule. Beyond all the kings who have he would declare salvation, deliverance, even to the ends of the earth. Why don't your rulers tell you about that? Why don't they tell you about that? Reading on down to the 49th, 10th verse and comparing it to Revelation. 7th chapter 16 through 17 talks about the one who draws tears from off all eyes. By springs of water shall he bring them. Why didn't they tell you that was Latter-day prophecy? Whoever does not have this invariant light of truth, scripture says you must learn then the truth of him who is called by the name, the title of honor the Most High gives. For many are they, my brothers and sisters, who put variant titles upon themselves. But the Most High says that his heir has that title from his birth. Be saved by his Elohim, the one who disciplines his conscience. I want you to think about this. Do we dare say there's grace or favor from the Most High? Preserving, in fact, the multitude of corruptions that the righteous one, the Kurdi, one prophesied, who Messiah is. Should we say there's grace and favor preserving the injustice that the Messiah comes to reprove? Should we say that there's grace and favor, a gift from the Most High for preserving the wickedness that the baptismal cloud that is the gospel must away? In other words, listen to what I'm saying. Scripture says under Messiah, they all were baptized under the same cloud. They fall out of the same rock. And if they had told you right, that word for Christ, well, that's a pagan word anyway. It relates one anointed after the ideals of many, not the will of one. From our 1 Corinthians 10, they say they all fall out of the same rock. And that rock, if they had told you right, was a Kurdi. Hmm. The baptismal cloud, the scripture speaks of, is like the Shekinah glory. The Holy Spirit, which teaches all things, will lie in it. The gospel, my brothers and sisters, the word beyond all the nations, beyond all the misinterpretations of man. Messiah gave his life to expose worldly allegiances by the Spirit of grace, or the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, if I do not go, the comfort of the Holy Spirit will not come. So he gave his life that in him should trust in Yah beyond all the rulers. Didn't the scriptures already say that if that's not your ideal, you have no right to the Spirit? In the latter days, the scripture speaks about Messiah coming to expose the city of Gentile kings. Same concept. Remember the scriptures talked about in Psalms, we talked about this before, Psalms 110. It said you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It really means decree that Melchizedek made, that just as Abraham had overcome all the kings of the world, so shall Messiah do. Please look at Psalm 110 very closely again and understand. Listen, reading also Genesis 14 to understand what that priesthood after the order of Melchizedek is all about. It's not really talking about a priesthood at all. It's talking about an intercessory prayer. It's talking about a compilation of an intercessory prayer that there will finally be peace in the world again. All these things I've talked about in this show, hey, like I said, it's about 2,800 hours of testimony regarding these things. I'm on the archives of this show. You might want to go back and start listening to a lot of the truth said here, because many had these precepts upon which to truly understand. Isaiah 24:10-16 talks about a city of chaos and confusion that must be overthrown. False testimony must be overthrown, but the people finally be free. 18:18-25 speaks of the same. First prophecies in the Bible concerning Messiah, Numbers 24:14-17-19 speaks about Messiah destroying those who would preserve the ways. How about the wicked ways of the city? And it's talking about that same city of confusion that is mentioned, and city of injustice that's mentioned in Zephaniah 2:15-3 and 4, 3 and 6, the latter day prophecy. That finally all his people shall call upon his name with one consent, none doing iniquity, no deceitfulness found in their mouths. How did they hide so much from those who say they seek the word? And it's all been there all along. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, scripture says, if you sought him with all your mind, heart, and might, you would find him. Apparently, men have not sought him with enough diligence for the truth. Like I said, it's very difficult for men to see beyond delusions. But for a long time, they have trusted. Scripture talks about a system having horns like a lamb and speaking as a dragon. You ever stop to consider what this scripture is really talking about? It means something wicked is pretended to represent the Savior, but bears a message of a false prophet. Even the adversary himself, a testimony from hell. Think about it. Romans 11:25-27, which comes from Isaiah 59, says Messiah will have to, rather than being one permeable, easily to and fro after the steps of men, will not judge after what his eyes see or what his ears hear. If you look at Isaiah 59, it relates that he will put upon himself what? A helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a cloak and a sword of the Spirit. Ephesians says this is what you must put upon yourself, that you must stand again, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the wicked darts of the enemy. Scripture calls all the different ideals of the nation, then, my brother and sister, the enemy against your awakening. Ephesians 6 relates that as a latter-day prophecy. It also reiterates Isaiah 59 as a latter-day prophecy. It says, the Savior come out of Zion to turn aside all ungodliness and all transgression, to raise up a standard that men discern the difference between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not. Please look at Malachi 3:18-4:2. Remember, in fact, what indeed is the law of Moses, a law of Moshe, which the Most High gave him. But many have entirely misinterpreted so much of that as well. How many of us are prepared, brothers and sisters, to humble ourselves to understand what it means to say the Spirit of Yahweh, the gospel, the good tidings, the full, pure, perfect word, he said to the meek. So many of my brothers and sisters are so very hard-hearted after misrepresentations taught by their leaders that when Messiah comes, they're not prepared to receive the truth. Hear me and understand then the real meaning of Isaiah 59 as it's related, Romans 11, 25 to 27. Messiah puts up a guard against the influences of the nations. A divided people, my brothers and sisters, are not after the Spirit of the Most High. The Most High is not the author of this confusion. Do you realize that then what they have called Christianity, or wherever it is that men have not looked forward to awakening to pure, perfect allegiance beyond all the misconceits of the nations, their faith has not been faith in Yah at all, but has only been vanity. Faith comes by hearing a word from above, a word from Yah himself. One in 10, that not all have heard the preaching of the gospel, have preached the gospel, the word from above. How can they preach what they have not heard? Many call upon the name of the Most High, just saying according to their vanities. Is that their own opinions? Is that the gospel? Is that the word from above? So many have had the law, but have not sought it by faith. You need to really examine 26 through 10, 17 Romans. Or the scripture is actually saying the Messiah, the end of trust and all the varying misrule that this world has called a law. The travesty and chaos and corruption, the confusion, the misrule, like since the garden, to be life walking after the will of God. Messiah is the end of trusting all this these false standards for those who believe. How many are prepared to understand the real? Faith, my brothers and sisters, overcomes kingdoms. Faith in Yah transcends the various kingdoms of this world. Oh, there's such a need to read all the, I would really say from the 7th all the way out to the 12th chapters of Hebrews. But the scripture says by faith, the faithful conquered kingdoms. How about overcame the variant ruling misidentifications? Shall the nations say that they've had faith in Yah, or they trust in their own standards to preserve them against the one kingdom? It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. It's time to wake up and understand how much folly has been taught in this world, that by no means can the Most High accept. And after such foolishness, can no one be called a king to govern in the kingdom of Yah? The kingdom where the Most High said he would take the most rational minds, that they govern the world. I want you to think of the real meaning of the verse. Shall it be said that the misinfluences or the gullibility after which Israel has fallen short among the nations? Shall it be said that Israel, think about this, will not be saved to the fullness of Gentile intrusions come in? They put in your King James that blindness befallen Israel to the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel is, my brothers and sisters, while they've been blinded after a faulty standard, a false foundation with which the Most High cannot be pleased. Israel has been blinded while gullible after the very actions after which Israel had been warned. Scripture says blindness, then, my brothers and sisters, are, let's just say, a hardness of heart, easily gullible after the misconceits of the nations, has caused Israel to fall short to the times of Gentile confusion, Gentile rulers, Gentile rule. comes to an end. Except a Messiah comes a savior to turn men aside from this transgression, this intrusion after the nations, the sin, the divisions of mankind. Messiah will come to remove all this ungodly transgression. Then shall all Israel have the same covenant with the Most High. Remove this ungodliness out from the hearts of his people. He converts his people beyond all of them. What scripture in Isaiah 44, 20 through 45? He said he will declare all the rulers, the ways of the rulers to be foolishness. Yes, even among those who say they are Israel today. But no one be confirmed Israel, my brothers and sisters, will not be true to him when the Most High has already called and given a title of honor as Savior. After the so-called trust in the nations, the false faith in the nations, has no one been saved? And lacking this saving principle, my brothers and sisters, I dare say we're all damned by the strong delusion that blinded the nations. Some contrived to preserve, like I said, that pagan Christianity at which they preserved all their varying ideals and kept the people thinking that they were wise after their, let's just say, the declarations of their own hearts, but never the saving faith. What does the scripture say? And in Jerusalem shall be deliverance to a remnant whom the Most High shall come to pass in the last days, that all those who call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. But that's the time when Messiah reveals again the testimony. It said, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance unto a remnant whom the Most High has called. Have men looked forward, my brothers and sisters, today when Most High established Jerusalem as the capital of the world? Have they looked forward to the day when the law of the Most High gave to all the ancients shall rule from that place? The place the Most High already said in Micah will rebuke strong nations afar off, and all shall come of all the nations, many shall come of all the nations, saying, let's go up to the mountain, the house of the Most High, and learn of his ways and walk, and we will walk in his path, that it might be peace. They didn't teach all of that, my brothers and sisters, to you, that it's a standard beyond what you see. And my brothers and sisters, they left the people. Your leaders have treacherously left the people far short of what the Most High will accept. Why did your rulers not tell you this? Because it is from them that you must seek, beyond them, that you must seek salvation, that you finally overcome. It's not a time for pretense anymore. Never was a time for pretense. Not a time for the pretense to be that all be preserved. We must discern beyond every lie. We must discern beyond the illusion. Again, unto the Most High, people confirmed, steadfast, consecrated unto him, and believing to trust and worship him alone. The faith from the beginning, my brothers and sisters, has not changed. What the Most High said, he changes not. He says he had to restore right, has to restore righteousness as of old, as of former years. I'm going to tell you, by no way will the judgment, the standard for the judgment change, or has it changed because men refuse this truth, or because men fell victim to those who did not compel them to look beyond this truth, or literally beyond, look beyond mirage that men have called truth. But what men have trusted has not been truth at all. Most I tell me the greatest truth is not what people think they know, what they don't know, what they think they know, not giving full consent of all the Most High has declared, has not been wisdom. In fact, it's not been the truth at all. Like I said, the faith has not changed. The Most High said he must restore righteousness as of old. He said, remember the law which he gave us. Men's lack of knowledge has not changed the standard. Men's lack of knowledge has not changed the way of peace. Yah does not halt his exodus because the people have been blinded there on the counterfeiteries that were never the gospel at all. Hear then again, my brothers and sisters, the gospel, the truth that I'm offering you. Thank the Most High for an opportunity to be made wise. Many are they who are not discerning the offering of a gift unto reconciliation. And will they even seek to mock and deny the truth, that they think themselves wise or cause others to think them wise after what in this world has been only deceit? I pray the Most High for the opening of the eyes, knowing that he will open the eyes of whom he will. Pray that you be counted among them, my brothers and sisters. There's only one to be the queen that rises to the top. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, we have Covenant Remembrance Ministries, under his might, under his honor, and under his praise always. Thanking the Most High for every ear that he brings near. I say again, my brothers and sisters, under the praise of the Most High. Hallelujah! And I thank you all for listening. Be sure to check out that website of mine, hiddengospel.com. The articles that I mentioned, Early Church Origin, Forgotten Mutual Expectation, Secret City Prophecies, Tribulation, 7365 AD, Gospel of Shiloh, so much more. Don't miss it, my brothers and sisters. Be thankful for the opportunity to repent. Be thankful for the opportunity to see beyond the massive iniquities. And it is iniquity wherever this world is not the truth. Discern how you can support this ministry. It's all there on the website. The truth of the matter is the only ones who can truly support it are those who can understand it. I pray, God, that you be granted that power. I speak again, my brothers and sisters. It's been Eddie Meow of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, under his might, under his honor, and his praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again. Yes, I do.